I'm so glad you're joining me for this episode of Street Soldiers on Trailblazing Women. We have an incredible panel of women, amazing achievers. We're going to talk about how they achieved their success, how they got there, celebrate their wins, and also, as we always do with this particular show where we put on inspiring women, is get tips on how we can step up our own game and go for some of the things that maybe we've always wanted to do but have been held back or felt like we were holding ourselves back with it, and just get inspired overall. So joining me for this show is Kimberly Dowdell. She's the 2024 AIA president, the first African-American woman to hold that prestigious post. She's also an architect. We're going to find out all about that, what that all means. Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a delight to be here.
We appreciate it. Also with us from the NYPD is First Deputy Commissioner Tanya Kinsella. She is the first woman of color to hold that position. She's out in the community a lot. You see her on her Instagram, out there talking with the kids, inspiring the community, checking in, making sure everything is good, and building relationships between the NYPD and the community. Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Also with us is Dr. Jackie Smiles. She's an orthodontist, trailblazing orthodontist, and we're going to hear about that in just a moment. And also the national spokesperson for Invisalign. Dr. Jackie, thank you so much for being with us.
Lisa, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I appreciate it. Kimberly, I want to start with you on this because you're the first, you're a female architect, which I think that's got to be a tremendous accomplishment as it is, because you're dealing, I assume, with the construction industry and all of that type of thing. How did you get interested in that?
Yeah, when I was about 11 years old, growing up in Detroit, Michigan, Detroit at that time was undergoing a lot of disinvestment. So there were buildings all around me that were getting closed down, demolished. And, you know, I really felt like if I became an architect, I could help to stave off some of that, you know, some of the sort of trauma that comes with buildings kind of disappearing and, you know, the crime and things that were happening at that time. This was like the early 90s. And so I said, I actually learned what an architect did in a middle school art class. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm a big champion for arts and education. And I just said, if I became an architect, then I can really help to improve conditions for my community. And I've been sort of at this work for 30 years now, which has been pretty exciting. And it's just, it's an honor to serve as the first Black woman president of the American Institute of Architects. I'm also an architect at HOK. Which is a large design firm that that also has a studio in New York, where I spent some of my early career years. And we also designed LaGuardia Airport, so Terminal B.
Oh, wow.
So if you enjoy the new airport, you're welcome.
Designed the airport. Okay, that's not like, okay, we're going to build a family room, or we're going to add an addition, build a swimming pool, an airport. That's incredible. We're going to hear more about that in just a moment. Dr. Jackie Smiles, how did you get interested in this whole field of dentistry and orthodontist and become an orthodontist?
I have family who, my uncle's an orthodontist, and I so enjoyed being in his practice when I was younger. And it's just the perfect blend between science and art. He was always happy, his patients, it was busy, it was upbeat, he had great music. And I said, wow, I want to emulate him. And it really has come true. I was 11 then. And years later, I was born in me, you know, to be an orthodontist. Just the energy and just creating that confidence and that self-esteem in patients. You know, what I do comes naturally. You learn it in school. But the interaction with your patients in the chair, from children to adults, it really is rewarding.
And then making people feel better on their way out. They feel brave on the way out. Okay, and then you also were the first, you're the first female professor in your field at Boston University. Tell us about that. Do I have that right?
Correct. So I was the youngest and the first female director of a department at the dental school, and that was the orthodontic department. So I graduated, and I was part of a study team helping the underclassmen in certain sciences and gross anatomy and neurosciences. And I enjoyed it very much. So I was going to get my master's in education, and I was interviewing back in New York, and the director came to me and simply said, how would you like to apply for the position? We're interviewing people all over the U.S. And I became the first female and the youngest. So I graduated in August, and September I became the director.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations on that. Deputy Commissioner Tanya Kinsella, you started as a beat cop on the streets. What made you want to get into law enforcement?
To be honest with you, I never wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be a lawyer, a criminal defense lawyer, actually, growing up. And one day I went to John Jay College in the city, and one day we had the job fairs, and they would say, you take the test on a Saturday. So I took the test on a Saturday, and within 2 months, they called me because I did so well on the exam, and they told us the starting pay, and I was like, $36,000 still living at home? Sign me up, and I could do this while I go to law school, and it was the best decision of my life.
And so you were able to do it, and then we're going to talk about your career. We're going to take a short break with everybody. When we come back, I'm going to ask our guests what happens, which I'm sure has happened to all of them. You walk into the room as an equal, and you are the only female in that room. How do you deal with that? We're going to find out when we come back.
Hey, what up, y'all? This is Lloyd, the King of Hearts, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real politics, and real people only on Hot 97. You dig?
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers. We are celebrating some trailblazing women, amazing achievers. Joining us for this conversation, Kimberly Dowdell. She is the 2024 AIA president. She's an architect. And also with us is Tanya Kinsella. She's the first deputy commissioner with the NYPD. Also joining us, Dr. Jackie Smiles. She's an orthodontist and national spokesperson for Invisalign. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kimberly, you're the first woman of this association with architects. Have you ever had to walk into the room and expect to be treated like an equal or respected for your position and your opinions and find that you're the only woman in that room?
Yeah, so I'm actually I'm the seventh woman to be elected AIA president. The first one was actually only in 1992. The organization was founded in 1857, so it's been a long time. So I'm the first Black woman here in 2024, and it took, you know, obviously a long time to get there. And so I often enter rooms where within architects, there are only 120,000 architects in the country. And of that number, only around 600 are Black women. So we're less than 0.5% of the entire population of architects. And so it's pretty rare to see someone who looks like me in not only this position, but just generally throughout the country in the profession. So I often encounter rooms where I'm the only woman or only person of color, and certainly, you know, the only woman of color. And I often, field this one particular question from young women: do I ever encounter imposter syndrome? And, you know, I have to, I always tell them no, because, and I also encourage them to think about the fact that if you're in these rooms, you're meant to be there. Like, you're there for a reason. It's a very rigorous sort of profession to pursue. It takes on average about 13 years to become a licensed architect. Wow. And so if you get into architecture school, get through the 5, 6, or 7 years of education, complete the 6 exams and the, you know, hours and hours of experience that's required, you deserve to be in those rooms. And you have to, you know, keep your head held high and know that you have an important perspective to bring to that work. And so that's something I consistently tell younger women. And I think that's so important to making sure that they remain confident in their ability, even when they are the only woman, in the room. And I think it's important that architects represent the communities that they serve, because, you know, design is something that impacts everyone. The built environment impacts everyone, whether it's a house or LaGuardia Airport Terminal B and everything in between. Women engage with these spaces. So how do we, you know, make sure that architects really reflect, the communities? And certainly women are a major aspect of that. So I say more women need to be involved in the profession. In fact, only 25% of architects currently are women, and we should probably be closer to 50%.
No, absolutely. I'm all for that one. Dr. Jackie, what about you walking into a room full of men? Tell us about that.
So, Kimberly, it's interesting that you said that. I do believe, and I tell a lot of my female patients or other women, I have an all-female in-office team. So it's 27 of us.
Wow.
And we said it has nothing to do with being a male or a female. It's really whoever's qualified best for that position. And when they ask me, I say, always strive to be the best version of yourself, no matter what. But when I started dental school, 17% were females. And now it's closer to 50-50, which I love, because I walk into the different residency programs and dental schools, and I'm like, yes, we're there. So it feels terrific. When I did start, though, oh my goodness, I would go into a dental study club, and you bet I would have those 4-inch heels on, rather than Manolos or Jimmy Choo's. And I would just like walk in, because the confidence comes from within. Yeah. So it would walk in, and we do add a little bit of a different flair or flavor to that room, to that creativity, to that architectural project, to that crime situation, to that dental smile. So yeah, I enjoy it. And I tell them that the confidence and self-esteem comes from within. I'm fortunate enough that I get to create those smiles on patients when they do sit in my chair. You know, I do see them not as confident because they're covering up their smiles, or they exude that confidence. And then I see them coming in with like a scarf or red lipstick, or just having more of a joyful, expressive patient in my chair.
No, that's fantastic. Tanya, the NYPD has made a lot of strides in recent years with women, and especially women in leadership positions like yourself. But tell us how you've handled. I mean, I'm sure there are times where some of the men were not necessarily as open-minded as so many more are today.
So over it's been almost 21 years that I became a cop. And the first time I was an officer, my first precinct, the one school precinct, was predominantly Caucasian males. And I was one of the only females, maybe three other female blacks in the entire precinct.
Wow.
And it started from since then. And I knew very early on in my career that I wanted to elevate all the way to the top, because it was important for women to see women like myself thrive and do well. And one of my earliest interactions was as a lieutenant. And I had a male commanding officer tell me that you cannot become a captain because you have kids, you have two children now. And you cannot elevate with the schedule and do the job and run a precinct and have a family. And at that moment, a light switch went in my head. And I said to myself, Tanya, you're going to become a commanding officer. And the commanding officer is the head of a precinct. And I did it. And my first pure precinct was the PSA 1 in housing in Brooklyn. And it's a male-dominated field. Out of 77 precincts, I was one of seven female commanders, and we weren't given heavy command precincts because that wasn't known in the police department. So every time I went up for every meeting, and I was one of the only females, like Kimberly said, I held my head up high. I owned that room, and I knew what I was talking about when I went into these meetings, and no one interrupted me. No one, I knew who I was and what I was about, and I represented all women, not just myself. So I made sure my makeup was immaculate. I made sure my shoes were shine, and I made sure that I took care of myself. I looked good. I felt good. And whenever room or table that I sat in, I owned that table. So I was demanded respect from my peers, and my peers were mostly male dominated. And I became the mentors. And it's a fight that you had to fight every day. But we as women, we have to wear several different hats. And it is okay to be that boss at home, be the boss at work. And it's an amazing feeling, but it's important that only 20% out of the largest police department in the world, less than 20% are women.
Bill, wow, that's incredible.
That's less than 20% are women. And now with, you know, Police Commissioner Caban nominating me to be his first dep, I'm not just sitting here being a figurehead. I'm pulling other women up so that I won't be the last person or last woman to be at the top. And, you know, Keyshawn Swell, she's the first female police commissioner ever in the entire police department world. So within recent years, we're making strides, but we're owning our seat at every table.
No, absolutely. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to find out how our guests handle what are called microaggressions. As a woman, whether regardless of your race, regardless of your ethnicity, if you are female, that's the first thing they see about you. And the indignities that sometimes women have to deal with are just the ignorant comments. Do you let them slide? Or do you have to say, excuse me, let me educate you. You seem to be uninformed, whatever, or something more rude. But I doubt our guests would do that. But we're going to find out when we come back. Stay with us. This is Street Soldiers. I'm your host, Lisa Evers.
Yo, what up? This your homie, Ace Hood, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real poly tricks, and real people only on Hot 97.
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers on Trailblazing Women. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We have an incredible panel full of high achievers inspiring us and sharing their personal stories of what they dealt with and how they've gotten to where they are today. So joining us is Kimberly Dowdell. She is the 2024 AIA president. She's an architect. Also with us is Tanya Kinsella. She's the first deputy commissioner of the NYPD. And also joining us is Dr. Jackie Smiles. She's an orthodontist and national spokesperson for Invisalign. I'm just going to open this up to whoever wants to take it. Who, in terms of these, people make, sometimes men will make dumb, I love men, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they'll make dumb comments. And sometimes it's a generational thing. Sometimes it's a regional thing. It depends what part of the country you're at, which kind of crowd you're with or whatever. How do you guys deal with those?
Yeah, I have this. Go ahead.
I'll answer that briefly. I match, and it's not always the best route, but I match energy with energy. So what you give me, I'm going to give you because I have experience. I'm not elected. I was started out as a B cop. I took 3 exams, and then with hard work and determination, I was elected to deputy inspector, inspector chief, and then now first dep. I went through the ranks. So sometimes you do get that male aggression or even, unfortunately, other women downplaying, you know, my roles and our roles. And I'm very quick to give you, educate you on my background, but also in my experience. So when you talk to me, you're talking to me from... just know that I'm experienced, so I know what I'm talking about, crime scenes, to taking care of cops and looking out for our communities. So I am notorious finding myself always having to unfortunately check people, and I have no problem with that. And a lot of times they're men, and I demand it.
But Tanya, how are you checking them without it being something that's going to have blowback, that's going to actually hurt your larger purpose?
So, you know, it's always good to do things intellectually. Like, it's a way, and again, it's about, you know, us women, we have emotional intelligence. So we know how to intellectually check someone without having to be too aggressive and know when to pull back and know when to, or what to say. So that's how I do it most time. And sometimes I just ignore it and sound out the noise, because a lot of it is noise. It's made to take us off and give us that imposter syndrome to make us feel like we're not the queens that we are.
Right.
Lisa, you know what I always tell my team, because we deal with so many, especially in Midtown Manhattan, so many different populations of patients.
Right. And different cultures. You have so many different cultures.
All the world and all age groups and socioeconomic backgrounds. And I always look at the girls and I say, you can't control what someone says to you, but you can control how you react to it.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And politely, confidently, and calmly. So don't get a reaction and try to be proactive, not reactive. And it really works. Whether you walk into a room of male professors or other women that look you up and down and they're like, ah, she's blonde, she knows nothing.
Right.
Seriously. And then I just politely, but I do address it. So you ask, do you walk away? Depends on the situation, depends where I am. But yes, politely and calmly, you just... say, I apologies. What is it that you would like to know?
Yes. I have schooled 11 years of it. There's an education behind it. There's a brain behind that person.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're male or female, but yes, do it calmly and politely.
Yeah, I actually appreciate that, you know, that advice. And I try to use it myself when I run into situations. I have a very specific story I'm going to share with the group
okay,
here.
Okay, great.
So this is a few years ago now, and I was president of a different organization, the National Organization of Minority Architects, and I was representing that group as president. And it was a national conference where people from all over the country were convened. And this group of folks, I decided at lunch to kind of join their table. And they're from, you know, from somewhere that maybe didn't experience many people who looked like me. And so they asked, "Are you here as part of the entertainment?" And and I was like, wow. So I really, you know, to the point that was just made about controlling your reaction, I had to really take a moment to think about what was the most appropriate response to that. And, you know, I'm trying to remain presidential. So I just simply say, "No, I'm an architect just like you are." And, you know, I continue to just engage in the conversation. Not very long. So actually, I only had a very brief moment before I had to step out for a meeting. But that was one of the most surreal moments of my career, especially in leadership and confronting people who just really don't understand, you know, where I'm coming from or who I am. So, I'd share that.
Were you just speechless? Like,
I was. It took a second. It took a second. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really. That is incredible. But what kinds of things, like Tanya, I'm sure you've had things too, like, you know, as you were coming up, guys hitting on you, not just on the job, but like in the public, you know, you're out there, you're involved in the community when you were patrolling the streets and that type of thing. How do you handle advances that you don't want?
Well, number one, I have a reputation of being tough. So in general, I don't, you know, I'm flattered. Thank you. But I'm professional. I'm a professional at all times while I'm working. And most people, they understand that and respect those boundaries. But Kimberly, back to what you were saying, you are the main event. You're the main event. And sometimes people would downplay us and you're the main event. And that's amazing.
And Kimberly, very similarly, because they would always think, even during residency, that I was the dental assistant, right?
You're not.
Oh, this happened in sweep. I'll share that in a minute. But I would walk into the room and they say, when is the doctor coming in? So I would turn around, I'd walk out of the room, I'd walk right back in, I'd shake their hand and say, "Oh, and here she is."
That's perfect. Like, yeah.
They're putting sprinklers into our building in our dental office right here on Park and 40th. So I am in, we call a little think tank next to the front desk. And they came in and they said, "Well, we're going to have to close the office for X number of days. So can we talk to your doctor? When is he going to be here?" So I loved my front desk, and my front desk turned around and went, "It's a she. Her name is on the door, and you can speak to her by reaching her at this number." Like, it was just so cute. So it happens every day. This just happened this week.
Yeah. It
works when you're on the
rise above, right?
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
It's literally this. Yeah.
And then, you know, for us, it's, you know, I see and I read everything because, you know, we have keyboard warriors. And we have a lot of keyboard warriors and that hide behind a computer and a keyboard. And a lot of comments will be, "Oh, I bet you she drove bosses. I bet you she hooked up with bosses to get where she was at. I took the toughest route. I took the toughest route with two children."
Yeah.
I went back to school for my master's while running a precinct and then coming to chief patrol's office, which runs all the 77 precincts as a chief. So, you know, sometimes we are downplayed for our greatness, but there's nothing to be downgraded. We worked hard, fair and square. And I think that's important for women and young women to understand that sometimes people would tilt our crowns and make us feel that we're unworthy of spaces that we're in. And that's not the message we want to send. Yeah. And it's important that, including myself, that we have to remind ourselves that we are queens and we are deserving for every table that we sit at and that we own the table. And that's why we're grateful, Lisa, for this acknowledgement and this type of forum to give us this voice, because hopefully between the three of us, between the four of us, other women look at us and say, wow, they go through the same things we go through, and this is how they're handling it. I mean,
no, absolutely. But how do you keep the negativity from sometimes seeping in? Because let's face it, you know, I can walk out the door. There's some days that I think we all have them. I know I do. It's like we have days where we walk out the door and I'm like, I'm a loss. You know, I feel like I'm on top of my day. Everything is, you know, scheduled and planned and prepared and everything. And then there's other days where it's just there's an early morning call. Everything changes. I have to be in a totally different situation or scenario. And I feel like I'm playing catch up. And maybe my self-confidence core is a little bit shaky or not quite as firm as it should be. And one comment or whatever, and I'm like going, oh, man. And I go back to this, you know, I'll fall back into like a negative thought pattern. How do you all deal with that? Or does it not happen to you?
Oh, no, it's definitely important. I wake up and I put 2 feet on the floor. I take a big inhale, a big exhale, and the decisions will come. But it's not always easy. But the lights have to go on. People rely on you.
Right.
And you just have to start your day. And there's many times that I sit there at the edge of the bed and I say, no, every day, try to strive to be the best version of yourself. And that's it.
Absolutely. I think you have to surround yourself with positivity. You know, negativity is sort of a inevitable thing that, you know, we all encounter, but you have to surround yourself with the people and sort of the practices that kind of help you stay grounded. And I think about my grandmother, who's departed at this point, but she started her day every day with, you know, her prayer circle and her, you know, reading her Bible. And so I've borrowed that from her and said, that's a good grounding for me in the morning. And, you know, just having great friends and mentors and people who are like champions and like who support you. So when things do come up, you know, you feel like you have that extra set of resilience to help you kind of get through whatever rough patch you might encounter.
No, that's a good idea. The morning thing is important. I do it with the coffee, like just set the day. Tanya, what about you? Because you had to have, as a working mom, you had to have, and especially with a career that this is, you know, your career is not one where you just go and sit by the desk and go to a couple meetings and, you know, not to diminish what people do that, but it's a very hands-on and constantly changing, a very high-pressured environment. How have you handled moments where you felt or torn between what your kids need or what you would like to do as a mom versus what you would like to do, you know, as a police commander?
So, listen, I start every day with my children. I take them to school. I give them positive words of affirmation, even when they're cranky. And then next, after that, I run. I run 4 to 5 miles just about every day. And that's how I start my day. Mentally, while I'm running, I work out my day. I work out my schedule. I know in advance if I'm having a difficult, like an intense meetings, I know to mentally prepare myself or so forth for the day. But I tell you, I include my children in everything that I do in my professional life so that they are aware that what I do every day. So my daughter is almost 13 years old and my son is 8. So my son really doesn't get it too much, but my daughter is like, my mom is a boss. And that's the biggest accomplishment that I have this far in my life, is watching my girl child, my teenager, wanting to emulate me, because I too wanted to emulate my mom, because she was a single parent mom from Guyana and did it with 2 children. So that's the highest affirmation that I get is from my daughter. And I do get those days where you're like, I'm not in the mood for this.
I mean, come on, let's keep it 100. There's days where you're just like, oh, I'm not in the mood to really put makeup today, but I'm on TV, girl. Get yourself together.
Yeah, but you know what? What Kimberly said is about surrounding yourself with positive people, with people in your circle that's going to push you, that's going to motivate you. And for me, when I have those down days, which are far and few between, I say my circle, they're like, listen, you own this.
Yeah.
You got this. Fix your crown and let's go. And that's my
crown.
I like that. Get your crown and let's go, queen. All right, queens, we have that. Sure, we have to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to get some moving forward advice from our guests about how we can apply what they're telling us and some of the lessons that they've learned into our own lives. Stay with us as the Street Soldiers. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah, yeah. What up, what up, what up? This is Styles P, the Ghost, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real politics, and real people. Only on Hot 97. Yeah, Ghost told you so.
Welcome back to Street Soldiers. We're talking about trailblazing women, and have we got a powerhouse panel for this show. Joining us, Kimberly Dowdell. She's a 2024 AIA president and an architect. Also with us is Tani Kinsella. She's the first deputy commissioner, the NYPD, and a first deputy commissioner of the NYPD. Also with us is Dr. Jackie Smiles. She's an orthodontist and national spokesperson for Invisalign. All right, ladies, in terms of, we talked about some of the go-tos, like some of the things, how you've handled different situations. Do you have daily practices? Because there's this whole, human potential movement that's going on right now. There's all these people, everyone's giving tips on do this, do that to be your best self ever. Kimberly, I'll start with you. It's like, how do you say you start every day with a prayer? Are there other certain things that you do to really make, to maintain your best self so you can be the most?
Yeah, I think starting the day with that anchor is really important. But also, I believe in this concept of 360 mentorship. And so, of course, I have people who have been in my life for decades at this point who've given me advice and helped me navigate career challenges and opportunities, but also making sure that I'm intentional about reaching back to younger people. So I'm actually a trustee at my alma mater, Cornell. And, I use that opportunity to kind of connect with young people, young women in particular. And so I just think it's important to make sure that, not only am I a resource to young people, but that I'm, sharing my insight with people, certainly in my peer group, and then those who are ahead of me, and then just making sure that everyone is staying connected. So I think, again, grounding yourself in the morning and then being of service. I think, at our best, we are of service to others. And, as I like to say about architecture, when we are doing our best work, we're elevating the human experience, but we need to interact with our fellow humans to be able to do that. So
I love that we're elevating the whole human experience like that. That's amazing. That's incredible. Tanya, what about you? You talk about your morning run, planning your day, involving your kids. Give us some other tips here, please.
Oh, like Kimberly, I love being intentional, giving back, and mentoring. I'm a big, I never turn down a community event, even if I have to bring my children with me. I love talking to our youth. I love going to the communities and letting other women see that there's not just men at the top. There's women at the top as well. And it's important that we give back and we're intentional in giving back in mentoring. We talk about us being mentees, but it's important for us to be mentors. And I do that in the police department, within the police department, and outside of the police department. But within, I push other women to be precinct commanders, to do whatever they feel that they think they can't do but want to do. So it's my job to make sure that I guide them along that process and to include them and make sure that women is included at every table. So anytime there's promotions, anytime there's talks about a certain unit, do we have a woman candidate? I'm always advocating for other women to ensure that we are in spaces that we never had that opportunity before because it was mostly male dominated. So now I'm the voice.
No, I love that. Jackie, you've done a lot of mentoring with a lot of the women that have worked on your staff over the years. Why is that such an important part of your whole business and your practice?
It's well, twofold. One is it's hard to give 110% of your time and always be on, especially when you're being pulled in so many different directions, whether it's your staff or your family or your patients or a lecture or jumping on a plane to give a presentation. But our motto is always try to be confident, courageous, and contagious. So even when you're not, step back. I have it on my website. Or step back, breathe. It's okay. Take a lap. I like that. Fix the crown. I'm going to use that. And yeah, absolutely. But to give 110% of myself to my team, yes, you need to be confident and positive. So it can be contagious. And something that I help or that helps me is I'm looking at the books that I have next to me. So you said you write the little stickies right next to me. My cell phone's right on top of them. I have books first, the best journal ever. You could buy it. It's by a company. It's the best year ever from Intelligence. I could share the website with you. But then next to it, I also have the power and impact, mindful listening, trust and inspire. So definitely surround yourself with positive books, sayings, quotes, and then repeat them during the day. I do to my patients, my team, my family. It's nice to just say, instead of saying, hey, just how was your day? Good. It stimulates a conversation too. And how?
And then when women are having a rough one, we do.
That's my new thing here.
It's like, remember who you are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies, I want to thank you so much for being with us for this episode of Street Soldiers. Really an honor and incredible panel. We got the airport. We can look beautiful going through the airport. We can be safe going to the airport. So we have the holes, and I'll report what the traffic's, you know. Anyway, I'm joking. But thank you so much for being with us for this episode of Street Soldiers. Kimberly Dowdell, 2024 AIA President and Architect. Tani Kinsella, First Deputy Commissioner with the NYPD. Dr. Jackie Smiles, Orthodontist and National Spokesperson for Invisalign. Thank you all so much, ladies, for being with us, making time out of your busy schedules to be with us and share your experiences so generously and so openly. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Street Soldiers. I'm Lisa Evers. Remember, use your mind. It's your best weapon. Let's push for peace, love, and justice for all.